Full Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. With me, as always, Rabbit and Bag. How you going, Rabbit?
What up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
How's this crazy free agency period, eh?
It's out of control. Are you pumped Hibbert's a Laker?
No, not at all.
Are you going to get a Hibbert jersey?
No, I'm kind of more of a Jordan Hill kind of guy, I think.
Yeah. And of course, Bag, how are you?
I'm killing it, mate. How are you?
I'm fantastic, especially after watching the body issue on ESPN. Did you happen to catch Kevin Love and DeAndre Jordan bare naked?
This is your favorite day of the year, isn't it? All the male chests, all the sporting chests are in for mainstream consumption. The only time of the year it's acceptable.
And, of course, the female athletes that look like guys. I mean, it's the great combination of both.
Yeah, no doubt.
You must be semi-proud, if we can switch codes for a second. Mm. The USA women's team, Wes, you want to
comment on that?
What a performance, though, just quietly. They're good. They're very good, but they were kind of underdogs, like, this tournament, I think. They weren't poised to win.
Let's stop talking about female soccer. All right.
All things
Jesus,
fucking MLS.
I almost threw up there for a second. Of course, you listen to All Things NBA, not female soccer. And today we're going to be talking about, obviously, free agency. We have a hypothetical that I think Bag's going to do. I'm going to hit you with some yes or no's. The majority of the segment is going to be our Around the World, where we pick a topic each and go around the world. You are listening to this on iTunes. We appreciate it. Please press subscribe. We have a Facebook. Bag, what is it? What's our link?
It's facebook.com/FCP podcast.
Boom. And we have a Twitter and Instagram. I don't know what the... We don't have to give links for everything here, do we? Rabbit, do you know what they are? Boom.
I know our Instagram account is probably the best one around basketball-wise. You should see some of the pics on there. Go check it out. Amazing. Yeah. If you want Kevin Garnett, you know, like Jizz Face or what else is on their bag? There's some crackers.
Yeah, Joakim Noah's tooth gap.
That's the one.
If you like seeing pictures about once every 3 weeks, then that's the account to follow for sure.
Well, just the important stuff, you know? Yeah. There's no filler. All killer, no filler. Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we get straight into it? There's been a lot of trade talk. Most of it circles around the power forward center, DeAndre Jordan and Aldridge. Of course, the whole Cavs thing, but today we're going to be choosing Bag to go first for the Around the World. Which team would you like to talk about first off the postseason?
Well, I'm going to have to go with probably the worst bandwagon to jump on ever last year, the Blazers. What a clusterfuck. My Blazers have gone to hell in about a 48-hour period. It's just about the biggest shit fight I've ever seen in the space of 2 days.
Yeah, we've been texting you a lot. Yeah, we have been texting you a lot. Blowed up.
Yeah, it's all over. But I guess the good news is that Steve Blake is gone.
That'd be great.
That's the one positive, you know.
That'd be grace right there.
And you get your plum dog.
Yeah, well, the plum dog. The plum dog's in the mix, but, you know, it's definitely LaMarcus is gone. Batum got traded. Wes Matthews gone. Lopez. Everyone in the starting five has bailed except for Damian Lillard. And now it's just a bunch of role players. It's pretty brutal.
Was anyone surprised how much money they threw at Matthews after that sort of injury?
Well, do you think that's sort of part of the reason why they didn't even speak to him? Like, I didn't hear of any meeting of the Blazers with Wes Matthews. It sounds like they sort of knew that he wanted $15 million a year, and maybe they were just straight up not willing to give that to him after an Achilles injury.
Yeah, they've had a horrible history of injury. It's plagued their franchise for probably 20 years.
That's true.
So
Odom.
It asks the big question. The big question is, why did everyone leave but the point guard? What's going on? Is it Aldridge is the captain? El Capitan?
Well, yeah. I don't know exactly why there's been a mass exodus, but my theory is that all the players knew that LaMarcus was gone from the get-go because, you know, and I mean in front office as well, because the second Batum could have got traded, they bailed on him for Vonleh and Gerald Henderson, basically an investment in a young power forward. And also Lopez and Matthews, neither of them like had a meeting with Portland. So if they were really trying to get the band back together, why would these guys not have, you know, been hanging out for LaMarcus to make a decision? I think every single person in the starting five in the front office knew that he wasn't coming back. I just don't think that makes any sense otherwise.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. They only won 11 of their last 27 games. Everything changed. This is a team that was like poised to do some real damage. Everyone was talking about them fourth, maybe getting to the conference finals. And then as soon as Matthews goes down, everything changes, which is, I mean, it has to come back on Aldridge. Maybe he dropped it early that he's like, I'm out of here and season boys,
I'm done. Do you think
it
had anything to do with the Grizzlies? Totally done. The Grizzlies, the way they lost to them?
No, it was on the wall, riding on the wall before that, I think.
Okay.
It couldn't have helped.
Yeah.
You know, he was looking around going at Lillard going, this is the guy that I'm going to be hitched to for the next 5 or 6 years. And look at the performance he put in against Memphis. Mm. And you're thinking like, you know, if I'm not here, what's this guy? Can this guy carry a team? Look, he got fucking outplayed by Beno Udrah and Nick Kalaitis, like, badly. So
weird. It's just such a shame, though. It was there, you know, that was chemistry there. They didn't seem to have one guy who was, like, hogging the limelight so much. You know, Lillard's a willing passer.
Yeah, well, they lost four out of their five starting five, and they lost their sixth glue man, the Frenchman.
Yeah, but like Wes Matthews was injured, right? He's injured right now. Done. Okay. The four boy guys are still there. You know, Lopez, Batum, Aldridge. Something must have changed right there after that injury where they knew it was over. Otherwise, you'd be like trying to keep it together, keep the chemistry there. There shouldn't be any reason. Something defining must have happened.
You guys heard about the end of season when they were playing Memphis and they had the option to either all fly home together, or they said to the guys, like, you can take your own, like, flights home and go home, like, at your own speed. And
yeah, everyone
went back except for Aldridge. So I think, you know, at that stage it might have been, you know, LaMarcus would have let the fellas know that this isn't going to end up well for me and I'm gone.
Yeah,
and it's gnarly now. But I guess they've done like a okay job of like filling out the roster with bits and pieces to sort of make them. At least they got a team.
You don't think they're tanking, is what?
Well, I'm looking at the team now. You know, you've got McCollum, Aminu, Ed Davis. You've got Plumdog in the mix. Epic, Vonleh, Gerald Henderson. they all like belong. But
you forgot your favorite player. What you forgot?
The K-Man.
The K-Man. Come on.
Yeah, K-Man.
It's his time.
Again.
He's waited. Again. He's been patient, and it's his time.
Yeah. How scary is that he's the voice of reason in here there now? Like, he's the most, like, sage veteran on the team. This motherfucker who, like, eats fish's eyeballs and shit like that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, there was one guy that stayed, and he is named Damian Lillard, and he signed on for quite a large amount of money.
Mm. Yeah.
How much was
getting
that?
Paid.
100 and...
Yep. Yeah, 120 plus million over 5 years, which is like the second biggest deal of the offseason outside of the monobrow.
Yeah.
Which is kind of insane when you think about it.
Rabbit, what do you think? Too much?
Oh, no. I don't know. Not in this day and age. Like, we're about to talk about some fucking outrageous dollars soon with some players. If Reggie Jackson can get 80 mil, like... You know, yeah, Lillard, whatever. You know, I don't know what to say about that. I'm at a loss with these contracts.
Anthony Davis, 145 mil. I mean, then after this year, all the wages go up. We should maybe start adjusting what we think is a lot and not a lot.
Totally. I think it's just going to be we're going to change our headspace with these dollars until the salary cap really jacks. I mean, these contracts seem outrageous, but I mean, look, Lillard is can be. Better than he has been this season. I'm a big Lillard fan, but I don't know what the fuck you're going to put around him to make him want to stay next season, or like he could demand to be traded. But you know, this contract isn't that scary, so he could. If this all goes to shit, he doesn't want to stay in Portland either at the end of next season, and then they go into full rebuild mode, which isn't a bad option.
they sort of are in full rebuild mode already, and they got $26 million next season to spend. So even if they do come bottom of the West, and they get a high draft pick, and then you're looking at a high draft pick, Lillard on a long term contract, he's locked in, and then maybe one other free agent, you got like guys like Durantula and Al Horford and Bradley Beal and Drummond and shit like that coming off the books next year. It's not a bad little, you know, core. And maybe that's the whole reason why they don't want to have another look at LaMarcus for another 4 years. They're thinking maybe our window is going to be like in 3 years' time, 4 years' time sort of thing. And they don't want to be, you know, carrying around 34-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge at that stage. That's the only thing I can think of that makes any sense to me.
Yeah. It's still hard to digest all this stuff. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see how well they do, but yeah, this team at the moment, I mean, I feel pretty bad for you, dude. Yeah.
I just keep coming back to, like, which other team, with the exception of Philly, has, you know, like a worse top two players than us? You know, I'm looking at Sacramento. They
Denver?
You know, Rudy Gay, Tyson, like Ty Orlando. Lawson and fucking Gallinari are better. Orlando have got Oladipo and Alfred Payton, and they got Vucevic. Every team's got a better top two than Portland. Every team, except for Philly.
So,
you
can
know?
I ask, who's the second best player on the Blazers?
You know who it is. You know who it is. I've said it.
Damon. It's got to be.
It is, though, isn't it?
I think so.
Who's going to give you that? And that's terrifying. If someone had told you last year that Chris Kaman was going to be the second best player on an NBA team, you'd be like, I don't want anything to do with that NBA team. That's a D-League team. And it kind of is a D-League team right now.
You just got to be careful to see how Lillard handles a losing season, like a full-blown, like, I'm done, you know, like, we're not winning shit this season, how he handles that. Because that's going to be tough. Mm. Like, playoff team, you know, we were poised to do well, a lot of press, a lot of attention to just, like, awful. I don't know. It could be hard to handle.
I wonder what he was under the impression was going to happen when he signed the deal. You know, if he knew that LaMarcus wasn't coming back and he was cool being the man and going, yeah, let's do it, let's build. And if LaMarcus stays, epic. If not, whatever. I'll go to war with fucking Chris Kaman and Plumlee, whichever other white retards you put around me.
Well, yeah, he's a pretty like textbook kind of guy. Like he's very. He does everything well. He represents the NBA well, his team well, blah, blah, blah. He's like a standout dude for that. So he'll probably commit for a while, but it could get ugly real fast. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
It's getting ugly.
It's time to go around the world. It's on from the Blazers over to the Spurs. We're not going to focus too much on Aldridge. He obviously decided to go there with a lot of players. So should we break it down?
Yeah.
The 2015
San Antonio Spurs still have Ginobili. He's decided to stay. You got Tim Duncan. He's around, 39 years old, going to do 2 years. Popovich is still there. He says he's going to play out his 5-year contract. Green's in. They got rid of Splitter. They got Big David West on a 1-year contract for $1.5 million.
It's killer.
They still got Tony Parker. They got Patty because he's on for another 2 years. What else? Who else they got?
I'm nervous about it. The Spurs is loaded up and it's looking ominous.
Yeah. I put this on the Facebook page just to add controversy, and the only people who really got mad were you two, which is great. but I compared it to what about that Lakers team? Was it the 04 Lakers with Karl Malone and Peyton in the back end of their years trying to do a super team and failed to win the title?
Yeah, I'm offended by that. Okay. I think everyone's offended by that.
Okay.
It's a great team. They made the finals their first year together, and their starting power forward is 40 years old, like this team. It's pretty good.
Don't forget, that team had Horace Grant, don't forget, as well. That LA team. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
they also had Devin George starting like half the games as well.
I guess what I'm getting at, though, is... Do you think it's going to be hard to find everyone minutes here, or no, because the Spurs are the masters of how many minutes everyone plays and that sort of thing, I guess?
I'm a bit taken aback by the fact that you're not super psyched about this.
Me?
Isn't Aldridge one of your favorite players going to a team where he is going to be, you know, glorified in a fantastic system, get textbook shots, be... like the heir apparent to Duncan. How is this not everything you would want for like your boy?
I love Aldridge. I'm surprised. Love the shooting. Love that he's all about the 2 points, not the three. Great post game. Plays defense. Love him. There's just
and love
one
the fit.
Slight...
You don't love the fit?
I think it's a perfect fit. It's just the one little thing that the Spurs have been kicking the Suns ass for about 15 years, E-type thing, that now I got to deal with that again. That kind of is conflicting with all of it, you know?
Were you comparing Karl Malone to Aldridge then? And like Horace Grant is your like D West?
No. Karl Malone's like West.
Right. Okay.
Obviously, Aldridge doesn't really fit in that whole thing, but it's just two great players, two stars on another team. It's the only thing I can think of to compare it with, but it's crazy.
Are you just a little bitter that LaMarcus didn't end up going to Phoenix? He had a glimmer of hope there for a hot second.
It was almost like the most amazing thing that was ever going to happen. I was fucking on NBA.com just waiting to buy a jersey.
You should send an abusive tweet to Tyson Chandler because obviously he sucked doing the fucking, you know, the meet and greet or whatever.
He sucked. Aldridge sucked at
negotiating. He was meant to go there. That's who they took to the meeting. Like, we got Chandler. He's coming to the meeting. He's going to talk you into a, you know, that was the vibe.
All he said dude, I'll play center. You don't have to. All right. I'll see
sure.
You guys out
well,
there.
Then he sucked. Then he
that's
sucked.
Funny. I reckon that's so funny you say that, how it was like such a big thing with New York. Like, LaMarcus didn't even want to take a meeting there because he was going to have to play center. And then look at the team. Look at this San Antonio team now. Like, outside of Duncan, it's D.L. West and LaMarcus. None of them are centers. Yeah. I hate to fucking break it to you, LaMarcus. You're playing center, bro. You're going to be playing center for probably 15 minutes at least every game.
It's a cop-out because he'll do whatever the fuck Pop says, but he won't listen to Derek Fisher. That's fucking
totally.
What's going on.
And Tim Duncan, he's not a retard. Nothing but good things to say about Tim Duncan. So I'm sure he'll learn even more things and get to better his career and understand what it takes to be a top athlete in the back end of your career. And everything just is perfect. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And now that David West is there, everyone can share more minutes. He doesn't have to play that much. If somebody gets injured, Tony Parker. Actually, I'm just going to say right now, the one area where I feel that they have a slight weakness is that one spot. You know, we saw Tony Parker with ankle injuries towards the end of the playoffs, and when Tony Parker wasn't firing or 100%, it really did affect their offense. And you got Patty coming off the bench, but we've all seen if Patty's playing just too much, it's just not right, and he's more of a shooter rather than a facilitator. Who else is going to help fill that? Who else is going to help bring the ball down? There's a lot more pressure, I reckon, on Tony Parker in that sense.
Yeah, you could be right. That could be a weakness that they might adjust. But do they have any cap room? I don't think they can really move now. They had to get rid of Splitter to get to make cap room for Aldridge. So, you might be right there, VG. That could be their Achilles heel this season. Mm.
No, I reckon you're dead right. I was having a conversation in like a group this morning and saying the same thing about their whole backcourt. Like you said, he's like on fumes at the moment, and he's the only other real creator out there besides TP. And I guess like a little bit comes to DL as well, but that's a whole another kettle of fish. You want someone who can get into the teeth of the D and make shit happen, and now you have no insurance.
I know what they can do. I've got it. I know who they can get. J.R. Smith still hasn't signed with Cleveland.
Oh, gross.
There it
dude.
Is.
Come on.
There it is.
What about your mate Deli Rose? Don't count out the Deli.
Just keep talking. Don't mention his name on the podcast anymore. You're right, though. They don't have any guards, but they've got a lot of forwards they could package. So they could still trade a few guys to get another guard there. Yeah, and they just got rid of Corey Joseph as well, which is kind of madness.
Well, they have All right, well, let's jump from the Spurs over to Rabbit. Who you got for your around the world?
Well, I'm just really impressed with Milwaukee. I love what they've done this offseason. I think they're a real dark horse. And I think getting Monroe is just kind of the cherry on top for this season. And especially considering how weak the East is, I think Milwaukee are going to be a real...
A real danger for
Cleveland. Yeah, I love it. I really love it. But before I sort of get into it, I was just doing a little bit of research. It's pretty underground. But if Milwaukee don't get funding for a new stadium, they need like 500 million. Yeah, they might move. The NBA might force them to go to Vegas or Seattle. Bag, what's the name of the Milwaukee Bucks stadium again? I can't remember.
Milwaukee,
yeah. Are you familiar with that joint?
No, is it like the fucking Tampons Arena or something like that?
I thought you knew about this. I thought
the Carefree Tampons Arena.
You're not picking up what I'm throwing down.
No, I don't know. Oh, the Bradley Center. Make them cry in the Bradley Center. Oh, yeah. Not the Bradleys, no.
I know. It's all over for the Bradley Center. I mean,
oh, geez.
Well, I think they need a new stadium regardless. But Vegas.
I think you'll get it. I'm just saying that's what's going down there.
I think a Vegas team would be really cool, you know, for the locals there. You know, something besides all the exhibitions and fucking casinos. Just an epic sport team. They never had one. It'd be great.
What they've done is with Monroe, they got Jabari's going to be back.
Andre Drummond? ACL,
no, not at all.
No, not Drummond. I'm sorry.
Monroe.
God damn it.
Yeah, you're right. Middleton's just signed a massive contract. He's come on epically. They got the Greek Freak. Michael Carter Williams doesn't look that awful anymore. And if he gets a jump shot in the offseason, it could be trouble.
Need a few off seasons.
We got a whole 90 games.
Be hopeful, please? He's gonna get a jump shot. I'm telling you.
It's because he's under Jason Kidd, and that happened to Jason Kidd. It took him like a decade to get it.
They got rid of Larry Sanders, which looked bad at the time, but it looks like a blessing now.
Larry Sanders got rid of himself
to weed and to narcissistic YouTube videos, I would say. And they only had to get rid of Dudley, which is a shame because I like Dudley.
Mm.
But this team, think about how versatile this team can be. It's pretty awesome. Think about it. Jabari, Greek Freak, Milton running around switching on everything. Monroe, big dog in the middle, holding it down. It's going to be good. They're deep with Mayo, Bayless, Zaza there, and Bagman's Plumlee, or the other Plumlee, I should say.
Yeah, the shit Plumlee.
Vasquez, I just like their hustle. I like how they don't have one glory boy or anything like that. They're sharing the ball. Their defense is crazy, almost like a very, very, very poor man's Warriors in a sense. Just in the way they switch. Listen to me, in the way they switch and their defense. I'm not wrong.
I had that in my notes. They can actually go like a super small ball Warriors style with Jabari at center and playing Greek Freak and Middleton as your front court, which is pretty wild considering, you know, they're all that sort of like 6'8" and around that sort of size guys. They can definitely do that. But they can also go super big. And you can play like Zaza or John Henson next to Monroe and Jabari and play super big. So, yeah, they're versatile. They just didn't address their biggest need, which was some shooting. But who knows? Maybe JR or something's out there and they can swing that. But they're really, you know, like a free throw line down sort of team at the moment, which is not really great.
But, like, look, J. Kidd has proved us all wrong. You know, we all got to admit it. We were all, like, laughing at the move, but he's turned them into, not contenders, but he turned them into a super respectable team. And he's definitely, I think this definitely puts them in the top four, possibly top three in the East next season.
I think you caught the Bulls on a really weird time where they were losing their coach and having some internal issues. That wasn't the Chicago
they
Bulls
beat
team.
Them.
Yeah, I know.
They still beat them, yeah.
It wasn't the Chicago Bulls team that I saw for the last 3 years. I think you're
I haven't
a
seen that
cloudy.
Team in a long time. I haven't seen that Chicago Bulls team in a long, long time. I keep hearing about them showing up, but I haven't seen them. So I'm willing
well,
to write them off.
Derrick Rose. So, like, that's something they haven't had to the last two playoffs.
Mm. Sure.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, how many games has Derrick Rose played and how long has he been playing with Butler? I think the coaching thing, you know, there was definitely some issues there, front office issues, and it wasn't as organized. It wasn't a well-oiled machine. The defense wasn't there. Noah had a horrible season. He was like an X-factor. He was getting Shaq numbers the year before. You're being a little clouded with the playoff overachievement.
No, we've given. I'm not even talking about the Bulls. All I'm saying is Milwaukee have gotten stronger and stronger over the years. They've rebuilt well. Yeah. They've put players in the right positions. To me, that's much more encouraging than what the Bulls are doing with a new coach and they can't figure out what the fuck to do about the Rose Butler thing. No, man.
Who on paper is better than Milwaukee? You got Cleveland and Chicago, probably.
Toronto.
Maybe Atlanta.
Maybe
and,
Miami.
And who else?
Miami,
yeah,
possibly.
That's another one. So there'll be
some
home court.
Yep, it's looking good. All I'm saying is Dark Horse, I like what they did. I like their moves. And watch out for the Bucks.
All right. Fuck yeah. Well, there you have it. All right, well, that was the first around the world. And let's move on to my favorite prejudging section of the Full Court podcast, which is where we choose a douche of the off season, which is extremely arrogant. But let's face it, it's our podcast, so we can do what the fuck we want. Who do you have for your douche, Rabbit?
It's not one person. It's a whole organization, and yes, that's just Sacramento.
Good for you. Why?
Just the last few weeks have just been a fucking nightmare for them. And it just, you hate seeing, it's obvious to me the owners don't know what the fuck they're doing. And it's kind of depressing for the fans and depressing for a team who's been through so much shit over the last, you know, 20 years, at least, ever since they've pretty much come on board. That one glimmering moment against the LA when they nearly got to the finals, 2000 maybe? You remember? Lucky shots, you know, all that shit.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. That's just been their shining
baby.
Light. And
baby.
I feel bad. And, you know, adding George Karl to the mix, it just seems awful. Then the whole, like, dumping cap space to try and go after guys who they didn't even get. Like, it just, like, the whole Cousins thing was gross, you know. Like, George Karl made it obvious that he didn't want him there. That's fucking really detrimental and super unprofessional. I can't say I like anything they've done, and it's just irritated me a lot.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
no. It's great.
Fair enough. Sacramento Kings, douche of the offseason. Who you got, Bag?
I just got internet, you know, everyone fucking losing their mind, especially when everyone's bitching about who's making more money than Steph Curry all the time now, all of a sudden, especially when Draymond Green signed, they're like, well, David Lee and Stan Puck and Clay Thompson and Jamon Dale are getting paid. But yeah, man, everyone's getting paid more than Steph Curry because he signed his contract fucking 4 years ago almost now, and he was coming off a season that he missed 40 games and averaged 14 points. Plus, it was the lockout. It was totally market value at the time. Like, Ty Lawson and Drew Holiday were all coming up. They were probably looking at better prospects at that stage because they didn't have the ankle problems that Steph had. And it was a totally fair deal, and it's nearly over. And he wasn't the MVP when he fucking signed it 3 years ago. And the value of the dollar has changed as well. The salary cap's going up. Everyone's getting more money. Just fucking relax. He's going to get paid next time. Chill the fuck out.
He's going to get paid massive next time, which is probably only going to be next season. He's contracted to the end of next season, not this season.
Yeah.
Than that.
And then he's unrestricted free agent. He's going to get as much money. He's always getting right. Damian Lillard money, pretty much.
Right when the cap explodes. Like, he's in the perfect spot.
Yeah, all right. Well,
as long as he doesn't get injured again.
I'm going to just go with my douche, which is another franchise. We're not going to talk about it too much because we're going to talk about it later. But it's got to go to the Clippers for letting the no high five Chris Paul issue and possibly one of the best centers in the NBA right now walk away and not making him feel special enough to think that he's a major part of the team and running a couple plays for him. Shame on you.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame on you.
Shame.
All right.
Yeah, I feel you. I hear that.
It's embarrassing.
Fair enough.
But also hilarious. Chris Paul, hilarious. Doc Rivers, ouch. It's hilarious. Oh, what are you going to do? All right. Now we're going to move into the next section, yes or no's, starting with Will Dante Exum be a factor this year? Bagman.
Yeah, I reckon, because Trey Burke sucks all kinds of dick. You know, he can't buy a basket, and it's going to be Dante's time.
Yeah.
And apparently he's ripping in summer league, isn't he, right at the moment, which means absolutely nothing. But yeah. I think he was a factor last year, wouldn't you say, a little bit?
Yeah, well,
he came good toward the end of the season.
And
he also
twisted his ankle at the end of that really good game in summer league, unfortunately.
I think he's going to be better than last year.
Speaking of summer league, I promised myself I wouldn't watch it at all this year. And then I just clicked on just an Okafor highlight, and he looks awesome. All right.
Yeah, you're going to love him. Hey, big fucking wide ass, low pose, just fucking little baby hooks all day. You're going to be into that hard.
It's going to be glorious. He looks quicker. Rabbit, is Ozzie...
Well, quicker than a fucking glacier or something?
Well, he's massive. Now that he's not surrounded by a bunch of fucking 17-year-old college kids, he's surrounded by men. He doesn't look so gigantic, and he looks, I don't know, more sprite. than he did.
And he has the deepest voice in the NBA now.
14 tennis balls or whatever, 13 tennis balls in one hand. Rabbit, is Aussie Joe Ingles worth $4.5 million for 2 years?
I think so, for sure. That's fuck all money. Mm. And he's like, how old? He's like 32 odd, isn't he? They're a young team.
Yeah.
They're going to be like needing a little bit of maturity, I guess. So I don't know. I'm going to go with yes. Right. It's not much money. It's fine.
Bag, is JJ Barea worth $5.6 million for 2 years? Looking at the Mavs.
Yeah, I reckon. I don't really have a problem with that. Mm. You know, it's like a third of the price of a Lou Williams, and he had flashes last year. Still, he belongs. He can give you a couple of different looks.
All right.
I don't hate JJ. His girlfriend's banging. What up?
Rabbit, will the Blazers be last place in the West this year?
Is that just how the cookie crumbled that I get that question?
Yep.
That's cool. That's totally fine. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Who are they? Who are they?
Worse than Utah?
Dude, no, it's out of respect, I didn't want to offend you, but I'm just dropping a truth bomb.
They're not better than anyone. Like, I don't see how they don't come last either.
They're gonna lose. Yeah.
Terrifying.
They're gonna lose to Utah. They'll lose to the Lakers.
Minnesota. Denver, Sacramento. That's the bottom of the West right there.
We just got to stop rubbing salt in there. Next question.
And fucking Phoenix, if they keep trading everyone away, hopefully. Hey. Come on.
All right, well, Bag, will Carmelo Anthony ask to be traded from the Knicks at the end of next season?
Can I say it won't matter because no one will want him anyway?
Because he's
100%. I don't hear a yes or a no in that answer, Bag.
Yeah, no, he won't.
Contracts are going up.
He won't. I don't think he'll ask because no one will listen to him.
Do you think somebody's going to sit him down and go, bro, you got fucking played?
He's doing fine, dude.
Rabbit, are you pumped Mo Williams is back at the Cavs?
I actually am. I'm super psyched. Return of the Prodigal Son Part 2. It's the other Prodigal Son. He was awesome when he played for him. It's not going to be the same, but yeah, bring it on. Fuck Joe Johnson. Okay. Get Mo Williams Rock all day.
Sorry. Yeah, Mo Williams. All right. Rabbit, will the Mavs make it to the finals this year?
Just.
The NBA finals?
Oh, what?
The
playoffs.
The Western Conference Finals this year, the Mavs.
Fuck no.
Wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. They'll go to the finals. You just mean the normal finals. So you don't think they'll make it to the Western Conference?
I think they'll fucking struggle to make the playoffs and they'll limp in there in the 7th or 8th spot.
Really?
I think. Maybe. Really? Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, dude. Well, okay, see you back. I like the Pelicans. I just don't think that, you know, DeAndre Jordan is like the missing link. You know, I don't see it.
So you don't think he's worth all the hoopla?
He's in the right system for sure, but who's going to throw him lobs? Who's throwing lobs at point guard for him? Nelson?
Nelson hasn't been there for a season and a half.
Rondo was there. He's gone. Felton, sorry, that's who I meant. Sorry, I meant Felton.
What about little pick and rolls with Chandler Parsons or Dirk? Little alley-oops from there.
What?
When they get running pick and rolls with Dirk,
Yeah, big man. It's going to be a big man game. I swear to God, you're going to see a big man game between him and Dirk.
I'd like you both to respect my answer because it's yes or no, and I said fuck no.
All right, here's the last one. This is not a yes or no. Bag, why is everyone so pumped about Tobias Harris? What the fuck?
Because he's 22 and he's like a 20-point-a-game scorer and he shot 36% from three last year.
Awesome.
He's very high.
We should pay more attention to Orlando this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to be forced to. They're going to have a half-decent team and hopefully Super Mario does some damage.
Yeah.
And they're going to be entertaining. I'm pretty high on the Magic this year. I don't think they'll do well, but they'll be entertaining.
I think Peyton developed pretty well, and he's only going to get better as well. There's going to be a good little, you know, young prop brewing in Orlando. It's looking good.
And they have a basketball team, which I like. You know, they've got a clear point guard, a clear two guard, and they've got shooting. They've got a low post guy now, and then they've got some bench depth as well and some young guys. So, like, that's a proper team. They're going in the right direction. It's not just an assortment of cunts.
That's right.
All right, let's go back into Around the World, part two. I'm going to start this one if it's okay with you, gentlemen. My Around the World topic is Chandler Parsons. How about that? We're talking about the Mavs. I thought it would be interesting for the fact that he's Mr. Recruit. He's like the Army guy. Come on in here, son, and let's talk about your future. Why was he able to rope Howard in? Now he's able to rope DeAndre Jordan. Why are the Mavs sending him in? What does he do? Does he look nice? Does he smell nice? Does he take people on mandates? What's going on? Anybody?
He's pretty into himself. I know that.
Yeah. Likes the photos.
I don't know whether that's like an endearing trait or not that the guys want to get involved in. I don't know. I've got no idea, but weird. I hear something that he wants to be introduced as the general manager these days, and he wasn't joking. Did you hear that?
So do you think part of his contract is to be that person? Like, you know how they sent Lillard down to speak with Aldridge once they paid him the big bucks? Do you think they've put it into his contract that you're going to help with recruiting and it's going to be a part of the future after you're a player?
It's very rare, but I mean, I don't know. We're not in there. How could you know? It's kind of strange for that kind of pitch. But I don't know.
He's doing it for his own personal gain more than the team, isn't it? Like when Dwighty was coming, it was like, I want Dwight Howard on our team. Let's get him down here. Not that I thought it would be that hard to get Dwight Howard to do something. He probably like jingled his keys in front of a piece of paper or some shit and just like got his attention, you know? And like, I think Dwighty would just be gagging to get away from Kobe and that fucking weird Lakers team and all that expectation and shit like that. So I don't know, but don't you think a lot of it's just DeAndre wanting to get, you know, hang out with people of his own age and people that he actually likes? Like, think about where he came from last year. Griffin, you know, they were probably bros, but then you're hanging out with CP, who's like, looks like the world's biggest fuckwit. Matt Barnes, Austin Rivers, fucking Spencer Hawes's weird shit. You got JJ Redick and his abortion clauses. And then now they added Lance Stevenson. He was probably just like, No fucking way. And Chandler Pond's just like, yeah, dude, we've got bitches on tap here. I don't reckon.
You're in LA. You can't hustle up a pretty good posse living in LA, but you can in Dallas.
Well, he is from, he's from Texas, so maybe he just wanted to go home.
So I reckon Cubans got in there. I reckon Cubans just fucking gone in, like, you know, selling it hard. And I think Parsons and Cuban are like hell bros.
Cuban said he doesn't really have that much to do. You know, he talks to the guy who talks to DeAndre. Like, he has to do the final approval on the sale and the final approval, but I don't think he actually goes in there face-to-face until the deal's done.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be frothing to hang out to throw down with Cuban.
That's what he said on Howard Stern. I don't know.
They blew infinite amounts of smoke up his ass as well. That, you know, like the Clippers didn't have the ability to do.
Yeah, well,
because Parsons was like, I think he's going to be the best center in the NBA for the next 5 years. Like, that's nice. It's just a fucking sentence.
Yeah, but
you're not going to hear CP saying that shit. Like, going, yeah, we're going to throw the ball into you 10 times a game. Like, you know, that's not the score. And it's crazy.
You saw Doc Rivers saying that. What about Doc Rivers saying he's defensive player of the year? He's going to be defensive player of the year. They were blowing smoke up his ass all the start of last season.
Accurate smoke. Accurate smoke. Like, that's what he is. He's not a low post player. He shouldn't average 20 points a game. He can barely use his, like, offhand.
Dude, Parsons said something. Not Parsons. Someone at Dallas was saying they think DeAndre is going to be their best player for years to come once Dirk retires.
So you don't think Griffin got gingivitis on his elbow or whatever, and he was out for that many games. You don't think that when he was scoring, you know, double doubles, and I think wasn't he getting a couple triple doubles? He was scoring mad points when Griffin was out, and they were running more stuff around him. And
what were they running?
Lobs? Like the man.
Pick and roll lobs. That's all we can do. He's not a game changer. That's what I was saying before.
Statistically speaking, he had improved, and he was kind of almost the man. He held down the fort for a lot of games. And I think most of the people around the sport basketball world are kind of saying that was a big factor, that he was kind of maybe realized he can do things, you know, and maybe the Clippers are keeping him down from going even a little bit further, even though they were responsible for a majority of all his improvements. He was kind of the man, it maybe went to his head, or maybe somebody told him, you can do this, you know, on another team all the time or whatever. And when Griffin was back, it just went straight back to the way it was. He didn't feel really fully appreciative. That's the vibe I get from everything I've read.
I don't agree with all of that. I don't think DeAndre can be the best guy on a team. He can't be the man. His free throw, okay, his field goal percentage is always super high. His blocks are high. You know, obviously from finishing at the ring, dunks, putbacks, that's it. That's fucking it. Defense is huge, and of course he's an epic piece, but he's not going to be a game changer for Dallas moving forward at all. He's probably just an improvement on Tyson Chandler. That's about it. And what did Tyson Chandler give you? Exactly the same, you know? Just a younger Tyson Chandler in a sense. That's about it.
Yeah, don't you think it comes down to the, he must know the type of player that he is. And he's looked back and, I think Wes is right. When Blake wasn't there, he was the second best player on a competitive team. And he might have got the thinking that I can be the top two guy on a competitive team. But on that team, he's not one of the top two guys. He's not better than CP. He's not better than Griffin. And nope. He's never going to be. He's never going to be the man in LA. And so that makes a logical reason for him to go Dirk's on playing on fumes. Who's better there? And can we win it? But they can't win a title with that team. No, I don't think they'd even beat the Clippers without him now. I still think CP and Blake would take him.
Yeah, but what? How does he get buckets now in Dallas? How does he become an issue? Tell me. Tell me how he is relevant in Dallas on that team.
He's facilitating.
Offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Okay, offensive rebounds. Awesome. Tristan Thompson will give you that. What else? What else is he going to give you? There's no one to throw him lobs. There's no one to fucking penetrate, throw up, tough shots, draw defense so he gets easy shots. It's smoke and mirrors, boys, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying to give you more of a picture of maybe where he's coming from. But
his mentality,
I think there's
no doubt
he left a fantastic situation. Him and Blake Griffin were really working well together. Chris Paul was at his ass all the time. I mean, you kind of want that from a leader. And he had enough, so it sucks. But shame on the Clippers for not making it better for him.
I don't see how you would think, though, that I'm better than this. You're not better than this, and you're on highlight reel after highlight reel in the NBA. You're a known NBA guy because you've posterized and thrown down the vicious dunks we've seen in ages. What's his name? Brandon Knight. Was it Brandon Knight? You know what I'm talking about? Where are you going to get that? You're going to be less relevant in Dallas because you're not going to get the looks from Chris Paul.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's not going
to
happen.
Bagman, do you wish him well? Do you want him to do well, better in Dallas, or do you want it to not work?
Yeah, totally. I don't get on this whole thing where every single player in the NBA should be going, I want to win a championship no matter what and sacrifice my touches and my minutes and shit like that. I don't blame him for thinking that, he's a top three center in the league and he should be one of the best players on a contending team. And he should be the man. He should be the fucking king of the city and have people want him to be there and stuff like that. I got no problem with that. Not everyone can win the championship every year. And it's just for 4 years. He can, if he really wants to win a chip super bad, he might do that again after this contract and take less money and go play somewhere where he'll just be a role player. But for now, he's got a chance to be the guy on the billboards.
And what about you, Rabbit? Do you think, do you wish him well?
I don't agree with any of that. No offense, but how can you be that delusional? How can you believe that you're going to get more exposure or be more relevant with your offensive set that you have in Dallas than the Clippers?
Because everyone in Dallas fucking told you so.
Well, then he's not being honest with himself. I don't know. I don't rate it. I don't think he can be that delusional. What? And from the Clippers, no one's telling him what he can do? What? They just got to the second round of the playoffs and lost. They should have been in the conference finals. And you're telling me he's thinking he can go to Dallas and do better than that? Rubbish.
I was saying the exact opposite of that. I don't think that's the number one factor for him.
He just wants to get... Was he getting paid?
If he really wanted to win the title, he would have been saying to those guys, yeah, I'm going to take fucking $10 million a season. Let's go get someone else epic. Nah, that's not... If everyone felt that way, they'd do what David West just did and sign a $1.5 million deal with the Spurs and go win a title. He could have done that if he wanted to.
He
doesn't really want to. He wants to be the fucking man and give it a run and try and be the dude on his own team. And if they don't make the finals, then so be it.
I think it's just going to crash and burn and he's going to regret it. Yeah, I think he would have been more of the man staying in LA, 100%.
Oh, suspect.
What do you think? You think he's going to get notoriety in Dallas? He's going to get exposed in Dallas and everyone are going to go, wow, that's just not looking like a good contract in 2 years' time. That's what I'm saying. Don't agree with it at all.
Most likely so, but like for his own personal growth and shit, you can't tell me that like if you were a player of his caliber and the team came to you saying, hey man, you're going to be our best player. We reckon you're the best fucking rabbit style player in the whole league and we're going to put you on the billboards and here's Chandler Parsons and fucking here's $20 million. You wouldn't be into it. You wouldn't be like, oh yeah, no, I just want to win.
Oh, I don't know. That's a fair question, but I'm talking about realistically knowing your game. Like, they're just telling you what you want to hear. You got to be smarter than that. I mean, the money is one thing, and obviously, look, at the end of the day, you're just taking the money. That's basically all it is, overwinning for the next couple of years. In my eyes, that's what he's done.
Yeah, but what, it's also his job.
Dirk's going to teach him how to fucking shoot? Oh, like, having to go to Dallas and really refine my offensive game under Carlisle? He's hoping, but I fucking doubt it.
He could have got the same money in LA, so it's not about the money. It's about the status on the team. Yeah. And getting more touches and being more of a factor, being a third banana, being a second or first banana.
So let's talk about that. Rick Carlisle is known as what in the NBA as a coach?
He's like a god. He's looked at as like a top three coach for sure.
Yeah, he'd be top three. Yeah.
And so do you think they are genuinely going to turn him into a second option after Dirk?
You guys tell me, because I don't rate it, so you guys tell me. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think it's a combination of those things. Dirk has to play less minutes. He looked like he was fucking 80 out there in the playoffs this year, so they're going to want to have to keep him fresh to some extent. But if they're talking about getting him more looks, it has to be on post-ups, right? Because he's getting a million pick-and-rolls a game now as it is. He can handle being a dive guy and catching lobs and dunking. So what else? He's going to, like, fucking cross someone up from the free-throw line? It's got to be post-ups. And if you're posting him up, then that's probably bad. I don't think Carlisle will get over that pretty quick.
What did Tyson Chandler get in Phoenix? What's his...
Hold on. We're going to get to fucker. That. You'll get to that shit in a minute, okay? Let's move on from the Mavs.
Just save some money there.
Rabbit, you're around the world was going to be about what?
It was going to be about what we just spoke about.
So,
that's cool.
We're skipping
that's fine.
You.
That went for ages. That's
yeah,
fine.
Cool.
That was
all
good.
Right. Batman, you're going to finish off around the world segment.
Yeah, I just wanted to like highlight some of what I thought were the shittest contracts of this little free agency period. Nothing too hectic.
So just the worst deals that have happened.
It was the wildest opening day of free agency ever, I think. It was like $1.3 billion of deals handed out. How fucking crazy is that?
It's mental.
To watch millionaires run around and throw a round object into a fucking net.
James at work was making us fill Heap's email today. He's like, and what if they gave $1 million for every time they spent $1 million? Would world hunger end instantly if that happened? yeah, probably. I don't know. They say the rhinos right now. You know, they're focusing on elephants and rhinos this year. Maybe they can get to world hunger next year. But
what if Motley Crue didn't do any cocaine and gave all that money to fucking charity? Yeah, it'd be fine as well.
Totally. The NBA cares, guys. Come on.
Yeah. They have Green Week? Come on. All right, overpaid. All right. Who's your first on the hit list?
What about Reggie Jackson for $80 million over 5 years? How do you feel about that?
So you don't think we haven't seen anything? You know, we haven't given him a full chance yet before we start smashing him down? I mean, did he play?
I wouldn't want to be spending my $80 million on Reggie Jackson.
Fuck no.
I don't like it. Yeah. What about Corey Joseph? Gold, gold, gold
so
for Joseph.
Much money. So much money.
4 years, $30 million.
In Toronto, right?
In Toronto. And the thing I keep coming back to is that's $7.5 million a season. Lou Williams got less than that. How is he more valuable than Lou Williams?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That'd make him... Is he the highest paid player now in Toronto then?
No, Damari Carroll was on 15.
That's right. Sorry, it was Damari Carroll, which is fucked up as well, by the way, don't you think?
Well,
4 years,
$60 million. You have to overpay to get people to go north of the wall. So
yeah,
I see what they're doing, but Corey Joseph, like, Gerald Green's still out there. Like, even Calathes is out there.
DeRozan's already there as well. Like, he's fucking better than Joseph.
Corey Joseph is like a very end of the bench type of guy. I don't think he's $30 million type of guy. That one's pretty shit. What about how do you guys feel about D Wade for $20 million for one season?
I think it's weird why he wouldn't have taken less money for more years because he doesn't want to. I don't understand.
No, I think
why
it's okay.
It.
I think this is middle ground for both parties here, because there was all this stuff about, you know, that Miami were being disloyal to Wade after everything he did, how he took less money with when Bron and Bosch came, and they were like, yeah, you know, we'll look after you. Let's get these rings. He sacrificed then. This is kind of a good way out, because Miami obviously didn't want to spend too much money on him long term because they want to make a pitch for Durant next season. This way, it's kind of like, okay, we know you're not really worth $20 million this season, but it's like reward for what you've done. It's 1 year. Next year, whatever the fuck happens, we're going after Durant. We're not
going to
pay you.
He's not going,
they're probably
to,
paying
he's not going 10. To Miami ever.
Whatever. They're going to make a pitch
Never.
For him. This is all their... sure, whatever. But this is what their Miami's thinking. So they're freeing up cap space for next year while they can still reward Wade for all his help and all his sacrifice since he's been there. That's, to me, that's what's happening here. Because he's not worth $20 million in this season, but he is to the organization for everything he's done.
So
that's
he's not
what
staying
I think.
Just 1 year, so next year he can sign for more money because the contract's
going Who's going to pay him more money? Next year he's going to be a year older. Who's going to pay him more than $20 million? $20 million is outrageous anyway.
There was
weird talk about him going to Cleveland for like $4 million. So, you know, like, this is totally a handshake, like an ass tap, like, thanks, D-Wade, thanks for all your help. This is us. This is Pat Riley saying we fucking really appreciate all you've sacrificed. That's what it is.
I think it's the same. And also it gives them a chance to, like, have a one-year look at this group and go, all right, is there something there? You know, that can we actually go a little further with this group if, say, D-Wade signs the following year for half as much money and they've got Deng coming off the books and, you know, maybe they're one piece away from legitimately, like, trying to get out of the East with that group. So, and you know, maybe if there's nothing doing there, then, you know, maybe you can let Whiteside walk. You can try and trade Deng mid-season or something. So they got options, but
it's just to get the elephant in the room is fucking Dragic at $90 million for 5 years. Like, that's pretty gnarly. And then they signed him before Wade. So that's like, okay, we're all in on these guys. We're all in on Dragic.
I got no problem with Dragic.
You love Dragic.
I just think
Dragic.
All I'm saying
he's fucking good, man. He's better than Lillard, I reckon.
Maybe
on a team, not one on one, but you know, he's a great team player. He's a facilitator. He does a lot of right things, but
I think he can do more.
He doesn't have the ball handles. Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think of more teams that can beat the Bucks. You got Miami. You got Toronto.
Fuck you. What's your problem?
Bulls, Cleveland.
Toronto can't beat them. No way. Toronto can beat them. Nope. Nah.
Game one. Bucks. Toronto. I'm watching it. $10.
I like it. I like the Bucks.
Are you pumped about the Heat this year, everybody?
Out of the Heat. The Justice Winslow all day. They killed it in the draft. I think they're going to be awesome. Yeah. Oh no! I hope they're awesome. Yeah. I hope they're as good as they are on paper.
Okay. Who's the next one on your list, Bag?
What about your mate, bro? Are you excited to look at 36-year-old Tyson Chandler getting $13 million in the last year of his contract?
Four years, 52 million.
36? That's how old he will be at the end of it.
Oh, so how old is he now? 33?
32,
yeah.
32.
4 years.
You know, it sucks. I think the Suns have lacked a strong big man, and maybe Alex Len isn't that, or maybe they think Chandler can help him improve to becoming that. But
you can't put them together.
I think it was one of those things where, like, yep, just grab him, and then we're going to make the play at Aldridge. I think the whole thing was to try and lure Aldridge and to show that they're willing to spend the money and all that kind of stuff, and it didn't really happen. So I don't think it's like they were like, yeah, Chandler, throw everything. This is going to save us. I think it was a building block for a better pitch, a better thing, and it just didn't work out. And they got second place, so everyone's like, oh, it's better to get nothing than second place. But, you know, like, it almost happened, you know, and...
Everyone says Tyson Chandler is one of the best locker room guys in the league.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a plus when you're going after Aldridge or you're just trying to rebuild and get better. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, but from a basketball standpoint, you know, that's a straight up timeshare with Len. I don't think you can play them a second together. And then the type of person that would be perfect next to Chandler is like Markieff Morris. And then the word he's trying to get out of town.
Yeah, I think he's done.
What do you mean he's gone? No,
I think he wants to be. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you want a shooting power forward.
Yeah.
Which was Aldridge, obviously.
I'm going to have to strap up and get into it.
Yeah. What about my mate fucking... What about... I got a problem with Brook Lopez at $20 million a season for 3 years as well.
Oh, don't you think that was another promise? You know, like they said, stay with us and stay with us and you're going to get bigger money later. And
no, they haven't been able to do anything for the last two seasons.
No, no, it's going back like got 4 seasons
Joe Johnson,
ago.
Or maybe Deron Williams or something.
You know, you're looking at a dude, he's missed on average 36 games a year over the last 4 years. And his career rebounding average is 4.5.
Ooh.
And you want to give that guy $20 million a year? You're just getting out of these terrible contracts with Williams and Johnson. Mm. And you're locking yourself into another one.
Are you really surprised, though? It's the Nets, you know? They just signed Thaddeus Young worth $50 million at 4 years. It's the same shit. It's awful. The Nets are awful. Don't ever be surprised what they do. It's fucking gross down there.
And the other hectic one is Aussie Aaron Baines at $20 million for 3 years.
That's
what
weird.
The hell? That's Spurs goodness.
You can't say
that's
bad
Detroit.
I don't know why you give Baines. Why are you giving Baines $7 million a year when Psycho T is on the board still? Surely you could get Psycho T for like a box of cornflakes or something.
100%
right now.
You could. 100%. That's a great point. Baines or Psycho T And you know Psycho T is going to give you, like, at least some sort of, like, excitement, or, like, at least we'll get a few textiles or get decked.
All right, well, let's move on past that around the world to one of the most exciting segments we have here on Full Court Press, which is hypotheticals, where we just talk about shit. What do you got for us? Bags doing the hypothetical.
Okay, in honor of Sweet Lou Williams signing with the Lakers, my hypothetical is a Williams-based hypothetical.
All right.
So would you rather be Lou Williams, get $7 million a year, have two girlfriends, live in L.A.?
Lou Williams, $7 million a year, have two girlfriends, live in L.A.
Or Deron Williams, $22 million a year, have your dank-ass weird hair situation.
Hey, no,
and
he
live
fixed
in-
it. He looks great.
Temporarily,
Let it be known. He shaved his head. He looks awesome.
Yeah, I think that's his off season look. He's going to bring back the little Jerry curl waves of dismay when the season kicks over.
Really?
Anyway, more Williams. Would you rather be either of those or Jason White Chocolate Williams? One of the dopest passers of all time, NBA champion with the Heat in 2006, probably a former or current ice addict.
Or which one you choose? Yeah, go on.
Or Serena Williams, have a go at being a female and be able to beat your current self in an arm wrestle or any sort of athletic
competition. This is a trick, and it's rigged for me, and I can tell already. Because as soon as I choose something tennis, Rabbit's going to give me shit about it.
Why would you say that? I don't know what gives you that impression.
Because you hate tennis, just like I hate women's, or I hate Suka.
I don't hate tennis.
If you're the man and you're a professional basketball player, would you want a girlfriend if you lived in L.A.? Or wouldn't you want to be single? Would you want two girlfriends?
Depends on the girlfriend. Depends on the girlfriend. If you have two, yeah.
I think I'd want to have a run at two and see if I can manage it. It'd be pretty epic. It'd be three ways all night, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then if you didn't work, you just go get another two. It'd be fine.
Every party. Where are you?
I'm going with white chocolate. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude, he's probably, fuck you, he's probably one of the greatest underrated passers we've ever seen. Mm. You should just have a look at a montage of his, like, the elbow pass is probably the greatest pass I think I've ever seen. His skill is, like, unmatched in some elements. And the way he just sort of is, like, underground and cult and not many people know how fucking good he actually was, I just like that. And I'd love to say, like, you know, if I put my game next to anyone else's, I'll take it. His game is fucking unmatched, I reckon. You know what I'm talking about, Bag. You know what I'm talking about.
That's why I put him in there. Yeah. I've got a, like, irrational love of white chocolate.
Oh,
he's one of my
favorites. Irrational, dude. It's not irrational at all. It's like the whole thing about, you know, like Pistol Pete or something like that, where everyone's like, oh, he was the greatest, what could have been kind of thing. Like, that's white chocolate, 100%.
Pistol Pete, the baseball player?
No, dude. Oh. Like, Maravich. Oh. Pete Maravich, come on.
Who am I thinking of? Pete Rose, the cheater.
Awesome.
So you're going Serena, VG?
Well, to be one of possibly the greatest athletes of all time. That's what they're saying at the moment. I don't know if they're just being pumped about Wimbledon, but they're basically saying there's no athlete that's ever been as dominant through anything as much as her in tennis. I'm going to go with, I think, honestly, if you're a tennis player, you're following the summer every year. You're going to five different wonderful locations around the world. It's the greatest life ever. I'm going Serena.
Summer's France. You got to go to France every year.
In summer, you're not going there in winter. Summer, you got to go to Australia. You got to go to New York. You got to go London in actual nice weather. You got mad sponsorships. You're the god of tennis in America because there's no male tennis players worth shit in America at the moment.
She does have a pretty successful fashion label.
You're getting calls from Apple to do ads. You're kicking
your sister's
ass. You're
just getting all the dick you can handle as well.
Dude, I reckon maybe a little dick, little puss, you know? A little both ways.
You can't bring anything little into Serena. She'll just gobble you up and spit you the fuck out.
To be a female tennis player,
she'd rape you rather than you rape her. Just slightly.
She's
6'3".
She's
happen.
An animal. But like to be able to go, I could probably beat half the men tennis players now. Is she's a freak, dude?
That's you do have a pretty epic double hander, VG. I got to say.
Ah! Every game. All right.
Well, who would you go for, Bag?
That's what I'd go for. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening to Full Court Press. Again, if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe because we love them.
Shout out to South Australia. Our biggest fan base is in South Australia, more than anywhere else on the eastern seaboard or overseas.
What about Croatia? I thought we had numbers in Croatia.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. In parts of South America, we're massive, but I could be wrong. Isn't it? What is the city of Chile?
Santiago.
Is it?
Yes.
Nice. Santiago.
Santiago. All right. Well, thanks again for listening. We'll be back. I guess I don't know when the fuck we're going to be back, but we're going to be breaking down each division. I'm excited about it. We're going to do a shitload of podcasts. We're just going to get a little bit organized, let some stuff happen.
And we're going to do the FCP Awards as well.
We are going to do the FCP Awards. Maybe we can do a little one of that, reminiscing on what was. I know if we leave it too long, Rabbit gets upset because he likes everything to be fresh now. So we'll see how that goes.
I do.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again very soon. Ah!